computer is, and you know.
All right. So as we mentioned, so perm is next week. So we wanted to talk about perm, get ourselves ready for perm a little bit. You know, next Wednesday night is Megillah. Perm is really incredibly untif with so much simcha. It should bring out with us, you know, so much love between us and other Jews, us and Hashem. There's a certain the nace of Purim is very, very dear to us. It's something which everyone has a special feeling towards Purim. It's a very, very special day. So there's many, many themes of Purim. Purim has many themes, many, many important and deep themes. So I want to focus on one theme today, and that theme is the theme of Achdus, of unity, brotherhood, and that surrounds Purim. You find many places in the Purim story and the Megillah many references to the unity of Klal Yisrael, which came out from the Purim story. So just in order to bring a few different sources, when the Haman came to Achashverosh, he told Achashverosh, he says, "Hinei am mafuzar mafura bein ha'amim." When he said he introduced the Jews to Achashverosh, and he said, "The Jews are a nation which is mafuzar; they're scattered and mafurad and separated amongst the nations." And there are mafarshim that explain that Haman wasn't just pointing out our geographical differences. It wasn't just that we were scattered about all the provinces of Achashverosh, but we amongst ourselves were mafurad, that we had pirda, we had separations amongst ourselves. We didn't have unity. And we weren't acting with achdus. That's a part of Haman's words, not just that they are a scattered people who don't follow you, but they themselves are splintered, they themselves have discord with each other. So the beginning of the Purim story, it begins with the Jews feeling separate from one another. That's how it begins. So Esther, when she's called upon to save the nation, so Mordechai comes to her and says, "No, you're in the position, you have to go to Achashverosh and plead the case." So Esther says, "Lech kenos kol Yehudim," gather together all the Jews, which has an implication, the kenos, the gathering, is not just to tell them what to do, but they should come together in unity, in achdus. So part of the way that we had to go about saving the Jewish people, Esther understood, was to create this love amongst Jews. It wasn't just to fast and to pray, but it was creating achdus. As Sud pointed out for the first time, it's very interesting. If you look at the Megillah, so at the very end, we have the famous phrase, kimu v'kiblu, that the Jews, you know, they affirmed and accepted upon themselves, Purim, the simple understanding. But the word kiblu, the way it's written in the Megillah, is in singular, kuf beis lamed, which you would read kibel, that he accepted, but yet the Kri, the way we read it in the Megillah, if you're a Balkori, is kiblu, they accepted. So one commentary points out, it's because when the Jews accepted it, it was as if they were one. So we can say they were kibel, like kiblu. And very similar to before the Jews came to Har Sinai to receive the Torah, it says, "V'chan sham Yisrael neged har," the Jews camped opposite the mountain. And Rashi very famously comments, "Kishech ablev echad," as one person with one heart. Because it says, "V'chan," in singular, they camped. And I didn't say "V'chanu," it says "V'chan," or "V'chanu." So that word in singular implies a certain level of achdus. So to the Megillah, we might read it kiblu in plural, but the way it's written is in lachshon yachid, is in singular, to tell us that the Jews, at the end of the story, came together as one. We had this unity. We know we sing a Shoshanas Yaakov. On Purim, it's the minhag to say after Kriyas Megillah, and part of the quote from Shoshanas Yaakov is "Bir Osam Yachad Tchelas Mordechai." They saw together Mordechai's Tchelas Yachad, all together. We know the mitzvah of Purim. You know, Shalach Manus is creating friendships amongst, you know, Jews. We send gifts to one another. Matanos Avyonim is to support the poor, to help us all bond together. Even the idea of the Purim Suda, Halacha describes how there is a concept to get together with friends, not just do it on your own. You certainly are Yotzei of the Purim Suda on your own. But there is a certain imperative that you should have the Purim Suda with others to create that love and bond amongst Jews. So there's, even though, let's say, on a regular Shabbos or Yontif, you know, to have a nice quiet Suda is fine, on Purim there's an idea of getting together with a lot of people and having a larger Suda. And it also creates this bond and unity amongst Jews. So you see this theme, that Purim ended with this incredible achdus, this unity. And we even try to recreate that unity every single Purim through our mitzvahs that we do. So the celebration promotes the unity and really encourages Avas Yisrael. The Purim teaches us to love our fellow Jew. So I want to focus a little bit on this concept. And you know, in general, I think we have one image of what it means to not have unity. And I want to give us a little different approach to it. Usually in our minds, we speak about pirud, separation amongst Jews. We think about infighting, think about splintering off and breakaway of movements, not getting along, you know, fighting in terms of our philosophies and ideas and how to run things. And unfortunately, that is common. That happens. You know, we talk about the Sinas Chinam, which destroyed the second base of the Mikdash, this baseless hatred. So the understanding usually is that Jews were fighting each other. And we hated one another, we didn't get along, you know, we were splintered. And that unfortunately continues on to this very day. We do have a lot of that amongst Klal Yisrael, which is unfortunate. But I think there's another aspect of this period, of this separation, which might be even more common in our lives. We have to focus on some more. So I want to start explaining this with a piece I saw in last week's Parsha, in Parsha's Truma, and from the Sfas Emes. In the beginning of Truma, so the Pasuk describes the Jews bringing donations to build the Mishkan. And the Pasuk says, "Me'ez kol ish sho yidvenu libo." From each person who dedicates his heart, you should take the donations. So Sfas Emes focuses on the words, kol ish, every individual. And he says that we see a lesson from here. The Mishkan wasn't built just by the tzibur, by the community. It was a sum of all the individuals. Every individual had to bring to the Mishkan. And he says, because you have to realize, you have to accept from every individual, you can't dismiss individuals, you can't dismiss what he calls the pratim, the details of individual people. Rather, they all come together to build the Mishkan. And what he means is that every individual is needed to make a Mishkan. Every single Jew has to be involved in some way. Every contribution from every individual was meaningful, was worthwhile, and that's what brought down Hashem's Shechina into the world. The Mishkan was the place where Hashem dwelled. That was the focal point of the Shechina, of the Kedusha in this world. And if we discarded or dismissed any individual Jew, we couldn't have had that. Every kol ish, every individual person was supposed to dedicate and donate to the Mishkan, and every individual is an important part of that process. So I think there's a little different perspective over here, which is it's the recognition that we all need each other. Every Jew needs the other in order for us to be Klal Yisrael. When we built the Mishkan, which is kind of a high point, you know, in terms of what we're trying to accomplish, every individual was needed. Every single ish was considered significant. And to bring down Hashem's presence into our lives to this very day, we have to realize that Klal Yisrael is not just a community of anonymous people. Every individual makes a difference. Every individual is needed. Very often we compare Klal Yisrael to a body. So in a body, if you're missing one part, Chas v'Shalom, we say that person is lacking. It's a disability. It could be a small thing or a big thing. Every single part is needed in the human body, just like every single Jew is needed to build Klal Yisrael. And we have to have the recognition that none of us are complete without the other. Every single Jew is significant, and we need each other in order to thrive. And that should be our outlook. The very beginning of this period of the year, in terms of our approach to Purim, we start reading Parsha Shkalim. You know, we had 2 weeks ago, we read Parsha Shkalim. And Parsha Shkalim is kind of the beginning of this period of the year. We had the four Parshios, we have Purim, we have Pesach, it all flows from Parsha Shkalim. So Parsha Shkalim describes how the Jews had to all donate a half shekel to the Beis Hamikdash. So commentaries ask the question, why a half shekel? Why not a full shekel? Or some full other coin? What's the idea of being a half shekel? What?
Half enough is one.
That's what it is. I mean, Rav Yonasan Eibeshit says that it's a half because it's a less than an achdus. Don't think that you can exist alone. Your half needs the other half. We need to have the other half. No, we are all on our own, just halves. And we need each other to thrive and survive. So it's a lesson to all of us that we need each other to be complete. And that's why we only donate a half. So that's the beginning of this whole period of the year, begins with Machzor Shekel. And that's our first thought towards Purim, is not about Purim, it's about unity. That we each donate our half shekel to show that we are part of Klal Yisrael, and our half is, we need the other half to be a whole. That's how we need it. Furthermore, it's interesting, you know, what do they do with these half shekels? So they were made, they counted the Jews based on the half shekels, it was a census, but also they used that money to buy the communal karbanos. So the communal offerings were brought through this money, which means that if you want to have a karban sibor, it can't just be that the Beis Hamikdash just takes some funds and buys it. Everyone's part of that. Everybody gives their half shekel in, and those half shekels are put into the fund to buy all the different communal offerings. Because to be a tzibur, to be a community, we have to have the individuals. And it's that recognition that these karban cannot be if you don't have all the Jews coming together as one. That was the recognition. Furthermore, this idea of counting. So they would count the Jews through a half shekel. So I saw a certain sefer explain, maybe it's to stress that every individual can say, I'm complete on my own. If I count you, I'm saying, you know, you're a complete number. You and your own are complete. You know, you're number one, you're number five. But we say, no, I don't count individual Jews. It's actually a prohibition. You're not allowed to count Jews. So you count Jews through counting the shekels or counting some other item. You can't count a Jew. So one understanding of that could be that counting a Jew is giving that individual saying that you stand alone. And the truth is, no Jew stands alone. We all need to come together to be Klal Yisrael. So you count the half shekels to stress that I'm not counting you as an individual. I'm counting you as part of a tzibur. And you stand alone, but you need others in order to be complete. That happens to be the reality of the human being. You know, we all need each other to survive. No human being can live alone and stand alone. Hashem made us all that we are lacking, and we need others to survive. Now, I've seen pointed out before that in terms of, you know, the animal world, most animals when they're born, they mature much faster than human beings do. You know, animals, the day they're born, many of them can already walk, they could already eat real food, fend for themselves. A baby takes a long time in order to do any. It's totally helpless, you know, for the first, 6 to 8 months or something, and then it takes a long time for baby to have any sort of sense of independence. Whereas when it comes to the animal world, to give them sometimes an hour, maybe a few days, and most animals do have a sense of independence, they can fend for themselves. But there's a certain message in that, which is that we all need others. None of us can survive on our own. So when we become adults, and we think that we can be independent, the answer is of course not. You know, we all need each other to survive. We need each other's company. We need to have support. We need friendships. Sometimes we need money. We need physical help. We need a lot of things. A lot of things that we need. Because human beings are made that we are all part of one big community. We don't stand alone. The mitzvah to love our fellow Jew is called V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. So we translate love your neighbor as yourself. But it's pointed out, the Malbim points out, that the word for neighbor in Hebrew, the term reya, which we like a friend or a neighbor, so that term is actually interesting, because the term reya, resh ayin, if you change the vowels, could be ra, like bad or evil. It's one interesting thing. It sounds like opposite, like a friend versus like ra, like evil. But also the word ra relates to, you know, the Chazal, when they refer to a broken vessel, they call it a kli ra'ua. Mm-hmm. Now you have the term in Tehillim, to ro'aim, to smash or break something. And the word ra or rea could also mean like a broken piece or a shard. And the Malbim points out, haftarecha kamocha, that the word rea is, it's a shard. So why is a friend the same word as like a broken vessel or a shard? And the answer is, well, if you take all the broken pieces and put them together again, you get a full vessel. But if the shards remain alone, they're just worthless pieces of a broken thing. That's all they are. So we have to know we're all pieces. Every single person is a piece. And say, when you say love your neighbor as yourself, what you're saying is that I love you because I need you and you need me. We need each other. You have something to offer me which I can't offer you. And I have something to offer you that you can't offer me. And we work together to become that complete vessel. But if we just left ourselves as just shards like remaining alone, so then we're just worthless pieces of broken pop. That's all we are. So Reya, so there's a reference in the mitzvah of loving neighbors yourself, that it's because your neighbor is actually somebody who is merely a shard, and you're merely a shard, but together you come together to make a complete vessel. So if we were to reflect upon the idea of Avas Yisrael, loving our fellow Jew, so we'll go back to what we said before. You know, we all have this image in our minds that loving our fellow Jews means we shouldn't fight, and we shouldn't splinter off, and we shouldn't, we all disagree on different causes, and it ends up with a lot of discord. And that's certainly part of it. I mean, that's something which unfortunately is common, and it happens. But beyond that, there's much more. You know, there's the idea that somebody, you know, sometimes we think that I can just be on my own. You know, I'm not going to fight anybody else. I'm not going to question you. I'm not going to break up and start my own breakaway shul. I'm not going to stand up and fight against what you stand for. So I say, I have Avas Yisrael because I don't fight. And the answer sometimes is, well, wait a minute. Even though you're not fighting, but is there unity? You know, do you really have unity? True unity comes not just through not fighting, but through appreciating each person to understand that each person is part of the bigger klal, of the bigger tzibur, the bigger community. And we all have to be one. And that's true Avas Yisrael is that point. It's not just that I refrain from a fight and I refrain from disagreeing, but it's that seeing that every single person is needed in Hashem's world.
This is Anila Dodi V'Dodili.
Anila Dodi V'Dodili, because we need each other, you're saying.
The Elul.
Interesting. Oh, Elul. Maybe.
It means that relationship between one person to the other.
It's a relationship, but it's more than that. It's to be able to see that we need each other. So maybe it's taking it even a step further than that. It's not just that we love each other, but we need each other. We see that each one is needed to be part of Klal Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael must be one. So this very much reflects, we mentioned before, Matan Torah. When we received the Torah, we mentioned the pasuk before, V'yichan Yisrael neged ahar, that we camped at Har Sinai, and Rashi tells us we camped with unity, ki'ishecha b'levecha, like one person with one heart. So we have to understand, why was that an essential part of Matan Torah? In Matan Torah, we had to have unity prior to receiving the Torah. So as the Torah describes, there is V'yichan Sham Yisrael, we camped at Har Sinai with unity, and then we got the Torah. So the answer is very simple, and I think the Or HaChaim points this out, but the answer is that Matan Torah, you can ask the question, Hashem waited to give the Torah for over 2,000 years. What was he waiting for? So many describe, Hashem was looking for a nation to give the Torah to. There were great individuals. He could have given it to Abraham, or Yitzchak, or Yaakov. He could give it to Shem, or to Noach, or to Chanoch. There were tzaddikim out there before Matan Torah. But Hashem wanted to give the Torah not to individuals, but to an entire nation. He wanted a nation to carry out His word. Why that is, that's a different discussion, but that's how Hashem wanted. So to be a nation, we can't just be a bunch of individuals. We have to be one unit. A nation means one unit. So one unit means that we all bond with one another and recognize that Hashem is not giving the Torah unless we are one unit. Which means, number one, the Torah is given to Klal Yisrael as a whole, as one unit. And furthermore, that Hashem's Shechina, Hashem's presence, doesn't rest on a group of individuals, it rests on a nation. So to be a nation, we really need to have that sense of unity. So Purim is the same idea. Chazal teach us, the Gemara says, a very famous concept, that Purim was also another Kabbalah to Torah. We accept the Torah once again on Purim. The Gemara says that at Har Sinai, there's a level of coercion. Hashem forced us into it. He held the mountain over our heads, and He said, either you take the Torah, or no, that's it. And the mountain falls. So we said, of course, Hashem, we accept the Torah. The Gemara then says, but so now we have an out. We can say, Hashem, we didn't accept it out of our own free will. We were coerced into this. We didn't. When you're coerced into something, it's not a commitment. We didn't commit to the Torah. You force us into it. So we have a way out of it. So the Gemara says that's not true, because at Purim time we reaccept the Torah once again from our own free will, because of the beauty of the Nes of Purim. The Jews got together and they recommitted the Torah Meratzon from their own free will with love because of the great Nes of Purim. So that's what the Gemara tells us. And the Gemara says, where do you find that in Megillas Esther? So the Gemara says, you find that in the words Kimu v'Kiblu. Kimu v'Kiblu, the Gemara says, means Kimu, they affirmed that which they already had accepted. So the simple meaning is that they affirmed and accepted to keep Purim, but the deeper meaning of the Gemara is that they reaffirmed that which they already had in their hands. They already had the Torah, and on Purim they reaffirmed that. So we mentioned before how the word Kiblu itself has this reference to unity, because the word's written in singular. But that's why at Purim we needed this unity, because if Purim's another experience of Kabbalah Satorah, if Purim's another time we accept the Torah, we have to have the unity once again. So at the end of the Purim story, there's this tremendous unity amongst Klal Yisrael. Everybody's getting along, we've gotten together to fast and to daven, and we made a yontif that's a total day just of love and unity for Hashem and for Klal Yisrael. And that all came from Me'avas Hanes, because of the love of this miracle. We all saw that we are Hashem's nation, Hashem cares about us, so Purim requires unity. The observance of Purim, it's interesting, the only yontif where we have this idea of giving gifts to one another. And where does that come from? There's a mitzvah. You must give gifts to your friends. You must give tzedakah on Purim. Now, the rest of your tzedakah is a mitzvah, but Purim's a time where we must do it. There's a mitzvah to do it. And the idea to have this like festive suda. Every yontif has a suda. You're supposed to have a suda on Shabbos. You're supposed to have a suda on yontif. But Purim, there's this idea, this new prerogative of getting together with lots of friends and people and making a big suda out of it. And the answer is because Purim's all about achieving this unity. Now Haman came in and said, these Jews, though, I don't think we find any sources of Jews were fighting with each other. I mean, I don't think there's no source for that. But apparently, we didn't respect one another. We could all be in our own province, somewhere in Ahasuerus's empire, and we each live on our own and do our own thing. And I don't have any against. I have nothing against my fellow Jew. There's nothing. I don't see anything wrong with them. But I just don't feel connected. I don't feel we need each other. We could be on our own. Our community can exist by itself. Every city to its own. Every Jew to their own. And that's it. That was the attitude. So Esther said that can't be. Now Hashem is not going to save us if that's the attitude. You have to create this unity. So it says, number one, we mentioned Knos Kol Yehudim. They have to get together in order to fast and pray. There's this idea of Knesa. There also says Lehikahel Lamun Anafsham. It says that we were given the right that we should Lehikahel, gather together, congregate, and defend ourselves. Why are we stressing to congregate? The answer again is the congregating meant they're coming together as one in unity and respecting one another. So this is really a paradigm of Klal Yisrael. Now, how do you view what should be the relationship amongst Jews? So certainly it should be cordial, it should be peaceful. But we talk about loving other Jews. How do you develop that love? And the answer is, there's one answer is, when you see that we need each other to thrive and survive. You know, we're only a half a body without each other. That every single Jew made by Hashem is significant. So then that brings out Avas Yisrael, the love for our fellow Jews. That's where it comes from. And we need each other. The truth is, we need each other physically, financially, intellectually, spiritually, and all the above. Sometimes we need each other's help. Sometimes somebody's not feeling well, needs someone to help them be supported. Sometimes somebody needs some financial support. Somebody can need, you know, intellectually. We need to have a give and take of ideas and thoughts. You know, if we just stand here on our own, and one person just expresses all his own thoughts or her own thoughts, so there's no feedback from anyone else, that's called a dictator. That's not called a community. It's not a relationship. That's not a community. And we have to be able to have ideas. You know, Limud Torah happens classically amongst chavrusas, sharing ideas back and forth. We need each other. That's what we learn Torah. And spiritually, we have to have each other. You know, there's an idea of having a minion, because you have to just praying on your own is not the same as praying with at Sibor, praying with the community. And in any time of need, the community has to come together as one, because we're not just individuals; we are part of a greater community, and that makes a difference in Hashem's eyes. Rashi tells us, I think it's a Parshas Bechukosai, he says that you can't compare individuals studying Torah to the masses studying Torah together. There's a power of numbers. And numbers means every individual has to be there in order to create those numbers. So very often we say, you know, the community functions just fine on its own. What good am I? What am I needed for? No, I'm very happy and I'm respectful and I'll support the community. But why should I go to this event or get myself involved or do this or do that? And the answer is because every person matters. And even if you're just going to show your support, that still matters, because you're showing that I'm part of Klal Yisrael and we each have something to gain from one another. It's a major lesson in Avas Yisrael to recognize that we're one with each other. There's the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Ezehu Chacham, who is truly wise? Halomed Mikol Adam, who learns from each other. So that means everybody. And then we learn from everybody, because everybody has something to share. Now Hashem makes every person with their own unique task in this world, an only unique way so that they can look at the world. And if we, and then we have to appreciate every person that has that quality, that unique quality, which I don't have and you have. We have to appreciate that. And we look at the neshama, it's referred to as chilek elokai mal. It's a piece of God within us. So it's a piece. I mean, you put all the pieces together, and then you get something very significant. But everybody is a piece of the same material. That's the way we are. Every single Jew is cut of the same cloth. We have to come together. Everyone's created with a reason. Everyone's created with their own purpose, and we have to appreciate that. So sometimes it's easy. Sometimes you have people that you meet, and you really appreciate who they are and what they have to contribute. Other times it's much harder. Sometimes you meet somebody, and you say, I'm not sure what to gain from that person. I'm not sure what they have to offer the world. I'm not sure why Hashem put them here. You know, and then it happens sometimes, unfortunately, and it's a struggle for us to figure it out. But we have to say to ourselves, but if Hashem made them, obviously they have a purpose. And Hashem put them in my sphere, then they must have a purpose for me. I must have something I can gain from them, and they have something to gain from me. You know, we talk about the mitzvah of Hachnas Orchim, bringing in guests. So many sources describe that when you bring in a guest, you know, the guest gives you more than you give them, because you're supposed to learn from your guests. You know, having other people come into your home, that's bringing in something. They have something to offer you from coming into your home. And we have to learn to appreciate that. Sometimes you have guests which you are happy to help out, but you know you feel that I'm doing them a big chesed by having them in my house. But you have to say no, they're doing me a chesed, because I get to learn from who they are. Without having this guest in my home, I wouldn't have known X or experienced X or whatever that X might be. And we have to always, you know, figure out in our own minds, you know, what am I gaining from this person? So if we can imagine, you know, this should be the atmosphere on Purim. If we ask ourselves, how should we feel on Purim Day? What should be the atmosphere? What should be your attitude on Purim? So I think the most basic answer is an attitude of love. It's Avas Yisrael. You know, the reason we give out Shochman is to create that. And that's how we should feel on Purim. It's a day where we just appreciate each other, appreciate our fellow Jew. That's the simcha. The simcha of Purim, part of it is that we've all come together as one. You know, the simcha of being together and as unity, as a community. And that simcha is an incredible simcha. So we have to strive to create that. And that's some, it could be challenging at times, you know, but we have to be able to strive to create that unity. And if we can imagine that this will transform our simchas Purim, if we can approach Purim in this manner, and we say Purim's a day where I have no grudges, I appreciate all the people around me, everyone that comes to my door, I'm going to appreciate who they are, and I'm going to try to show my love and my respect and my honor. So that will change our Purim. And then the attitude also, it will change our lives. If this is the attitude we had in everyday life, then we would feel, you know, we'd be happier people, and the community would really come together as one unit. Again, we're told that sin is chinam is the reason we're in galus right now. You know, it's because of this baseless hatred, and it's very challenging at times. It's something that we have to work on. But Purim is a day that really promotes this unity. At the end of the Megillah, if you could, I sometimes try to picture Shushan, you know, after the story of Purim, and you know, there was a battle and it was difficult. But we talk about, you know, there was Sasson and Simcha. There was a Simcha Sasson v'Yikar. There was light and happiness and joy and honor. So it was just as all the Jews were just together celebrating, just enjoying and celebrating all together as one. And you want to look at that as the picture also when Mashiach comes, how will the world look? And you want to picture that all the Jews will be together as one, you know, dancing and singing and celebrating because we're one nation that Hashem has saved and has the Shechinah upon us. So this I think is one of the big themes of Purim, and it's something we should strive for. I read that the Slonim Rebbe, he says that if you want to work on loving Hashem, the first thing to do is work on loving other Jews. When you love other Jews, you'll grow to love Hashem as well. Because when you love another Jew, what are you stressing? You're stressing this person is Hashem's creation, this person has an Hashem within, which pieces of Hashem, and grow to love that. Once you love that, so that really what you're doing is you're loving Hashem, to loving the fellow Jew. So if you want to work on your Avas Hashem, you know, the first place to start is work on loving other Jews. Once you're able to accomplish that, then it goes much, much further. So we really have to take this into account as we approach Purim. A little early today, but it's okay.
Great, thank you.
You can love me for ending early. But, you know.